97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas, in for another 2 hours today until noon. We've got a huge, huge Sixers game tonight. We've been talking a lot of Eagles this morning. I do want to talk some Phillies with the Fanatic Baseball Show's Andrew Salchunas at some point, because we are getting quickly close to pitchers and catchers.
Is it Nick Pavetta's breakout season?
Oh, the Nick Pavetta hype train?
Nick Pavetta breakout 3.0.
Full force. Get off the Pavetta tracks.
I can't believe it.
The hype train is coming through.
I can't stand him. By the way, I just want to make something clear, because there are people who, like Jack 678-43444.
I love those people. And get real rational.
Jack is always angry at the station, but he's always listening to the station.
Yeah, what's up, Jack?
I appreciate you, Jack.
Shout out to Jack.
I'm not being a J.O. here. I'm just saying we have to clarify something. He said, I'm tired. His tweet says, I'm tired of people saying Whiteside is Alshon Jeffrey. Whiteside couldn't hold Jeffrey's jock when Alshon came into this league. Jeffrey was a special player from the jump. By his second year, he was at an elite level. The comparison is ridiculous.
I hear him.
But we're not comparing the talent.
We're comparing the slowness, the body type, the size.
And the position.
The jump ball.
Whiteside is
radius.
Not playing in the slot. Whiteside is not a deep threat. Whiteside runs the routes that Alshon Jeffrey runs. And if Alshon Jeffrey is better than Arthego Whiteside, which we believe he is when healthy, obviously, then J.J. Arcega-Whiteside can't get on the field, because he's not going to line up in the slot. He's not going to line up on the opposite side of Alshon Jeffrey, because he's not a speed receiver.
No.
So we're not comparing the talent of the two. We're comparing, the comparison is they play the same position. So that's why Whiteside can't get on the field, and that's why we don't know exactly who J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is until we actually see a full season out of him.
Yeah, it's like you always want to compare somebody to somebody because of their physical skill set.
Right.
Like you're going to compare like Trae Young to like a Dame Lillard. You know what I mean? Like, because their body type is similar, their game is somewhat similar. You're not going to compare Trae Young and hope he's the next Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you compare physicality and the type of what that translates to.
Yeah, the style of play.
Yeah, exactly.
Which Whiteside's style of play is Alshon Jeffrey's style of play.
If he succeeds, we want him to be a young Alshon.
Yes.
Because that's the same type of skill sets that they possess. So, yeah.
So I just want to make that clear.
That's nice. Thank you, Jim, for listening.
Jack.
We appreciate it. Jim,
678-48-344.
Shout out. Love that number combination. But we've been talking a lot about the Eagles and the direction of this offseason and how much it's going to dictate the next 4 or 5 years. But we do have to touch on the Philadelphia 76ers tonight, back in action at home, 8:30. All eyes of the nation will be focused on the Wells Fargo Center as LeBron and AD come to town. LeBron has the chance to pass Kobe Bryant for the third. Well, he will be third. He will be passing fourth,
right,
to overtake third all-time in NBA scoring, behind the mailman at number two and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at number one. I really believe LeBron can be the all-time NBA's all-time leading scorer.
It's possible.
He's a little less than 5,000 away from Kareem. Totally doable. He is going to play at another high level for probably at least 2 to 3 years. You think that's fair with what he's shown physicality-wise? You know, what does he get a year? Probably close to 1,400 right now. I'm just guessing off the top of my head. So you figure if he can play 2 to 3 more years at a high level, he has a real chance to catch Kareem, and that's pretty damn cool for people like us that got to watch, you know, his entire career from start to finish. I mean, hell, I was watching his St. Vincent St. Mary's high school games in ESPN, and ESPN is getting grotesque in their Bronny Jr.
They're airing ESPNU yesterday. It was airing LeBron's high school games.
Jeez. And Bronny Jr. now with Zaire Wade and Sierra Canyon. They're everywhere.
Yeah,
it's
kind of crazy.
It's ridiculous.
LeBron had 1,500 points last year. He had 2,200 the year before.
Okay, so this year.
Now remember, he only played 55 games last year.
Yeah, so this year he'll probably get two, right?
He's already at 1,083.
So he's going to get two. He's going to get plus two.
Yeah, it's possible.
He's going to overtake Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time leading NBA scorer.
It's possible.
Barring a major injury, he's going to do it, because you know LeBron wants to be on the same team as Bronny Jr. one day.
Yeah.
And as the commissioner of the NBA, he's going to make sure that happens. Like, I loved it the other day in New York when they were playing the Knicks, and he had seen Bronny Jr. play. Or no, maybe it was the Celtics game where he saw Bronny.
Celtics game where
he saw Bronny Jr. play that morning.
He's tired,
and he blamed it on
lost money.
And somebody was like, "Well, LeBron, you know, in a couple of years, Bronny Jr. could be in the NBA. How much does that mean to you to want to play with him?" And he was like, "Man, I'm just focused on this year, yada, yada, yada." And I was like, "Dude, you know 100% in your mind you're going to be on the same team as your son in a couple of years. Stop it. You can say you've thought about it."
He's talked about it in the past. He's talked about it.
But, like, come on, man.
All right. So what does that have to do with tonight's game?
Nothing.
Because I don't give a damn about Bronny Jr. All right. I don't watch high school basketball.
I haven't watched one yet either. But I just thought that question
I'm
was...
fired up for the game tonight because it's been a couple days since we've had Sixers basketball. What I'm really afraid of is they don't play well and Twitter's just going to be a disaster.
Because
they're going to forget that there's two starters that aren't going to be playing today. And, oh my God, he played Furkan so much. Well, yeah. He had to.
Yeah. I mean, Matisse Thybulle is probably going to be playing 35 minutes a night right now.
Yeah, he's by far a starter. I mean... Who do you got? You got Simmons at the one? Is Furkan in the starting lineup at the two?
He might have to be.
And you go Matisse at the three, Harris at the four, and Horford at the five.
Yeah, I guess that's probably the five.
Like that may be it.
And Furky!
It sounds terrible because it is. Because that's your starting five.
It's not great. And then your bench
not
is...
Not good.
Your bench is... Your top guy off, I guess, should be Ennis in... This situation, I'm surprised Mariel Shayok hasn't been called up yet. He's on the two-way deal. I guess, I don't know what they're waiting for, but I assumed he was going to come
up. Yeah, it was
up.
A lot of hours. He's shooting, what, 35% from three?
37.5.
37.5.
And on nearly eight attempts a game. So he is hunting threes, as Brett Brown has said. Sixers are +4.5 tonight.
Yeah, I don't like the game tonight. Like I know they're at home.
I don't bet the Sixers.
And they played well at home, but they're missing way too much. I mean, they
Richardson
had to call
is a huge loss.
They called Zaire Smith again.
Oh, they did call up Zaire.
They called him up yesterday.
Oh, I missed that. Okay, I thought Shayok was going to be the guy.
He was at shoot around. Maybe it might not be official, but they brought him up yesterday for shoot around. So he's going to dress tonight.
That'll be interesting to see if he gets any run.
A few minutes, maybe.
I mean, the bench is really bad. They're desperate.
They had to play Shake Milton 20-plus minutes last.
Yeah,
last game
I think Shake is going to play ahead of Zaire.
Yeah, he will.
So Shake and Ennis are your top two off the bench. Shake might actually start ahead of Furkey. And Furkey could be off the bench with Ennis.
Maybe.
He seems to like Shake Milton a little bit.
That Josh Richardson was a huge loss, him getting hurt. And they lost to Toronto. I know that late in the game, they blew a big lead. At one point, they were up 14 points, and they blow the lead. Kyle Van Vliet got hot from three.
Fred.
Kyle.
You're thinking of Kyle Van Der Esch.
Yes, sure. We'll go with that.
the double hyphenated Fred, last name.
Fred Van Vliet got hot from three.
What college?
Fred Van Vliet? Wasn't he... he's not Wichita State, was he?
Yeah, baby. Put those Shockers up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was one of those guys that felt like he played college basketball for 7 years.
Who was the other guard from Wichita State?
They had a nasty team back then.
Yeah, there's another big guard.
Yeah, whatever. But Van Vliet gives them problems. And it's weird that Josh Richardson, and we're about to talk to Brian in Philly about the game tonight, it's weird that Richardson going down, it really took that to expose how few of two guards you have on this team. Like, the NBA, I feel like, is made up of 60% two guards, and the Sixers have none. Like, Richardson's down, and you got nothing?
Yeah, you went from Josh Richardson to Shake Milton, who was a two-way player last year.
That's our jump at two guard? Like, that is a drastically important position in the NBA. And that's where we go? Shake Milton's our next fill in the two guard position?
Oh, Landry Shamet.
Landry Shamet, that's
Wichita
right.
State.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it's a problem. And that comes back to...
So do you go get Derrick Rose? Because he can kind of play that combo position.
Yeah. Listen, I think I did a show last Saturday. I was on, or last Sunday. And I asked the question whether or not people think Elton Brand has done a good job as GM.
I think it's to be determined, but...
Yes, but so far, yes or no?
I have to say more yes than no.
More yes than no. That's what I said.
And it'll make sense soon.
It'll make sense soon.
But I think
it was like 48% of the people that voted said no.
Ooh.
I was shocked. Now,
It was right after they lost the game.
But nothing's been determined yet.
Yeah, but I did this so far. Like, it wasn't like a statement, is he a good GM? But a lot of people are down because, and this was before they lost Josh Richardson. People are down because he didn't get a good three-point shooter during the offseason. I truly believe that J.J. Redick screwed them up. Like, J.J. Redick leaving, I think they expected him to come back. And then when he pulled the rug from under them, they go, oh, shoot, we don't have a lights-out three-point shooter. The Al Horford contract, I know everybody's upset about it now. When they signed Al Horford, everybody was happy about it. Look, so you can't get on Ellen Brand for that.
Bitching about the $108 million is old man yells at cloud exercise. I get that. That's what these players go for. Whether the fit was right and proper, that's the discussion, not the $108 million. That's what Al Horford's getting the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, yelling about his $108 million, I think, is a fruitless exercise.
Right, exactly. He was going to get it. I remember Dallas was in on him, like Boston bringing him
back. That's just the rate. Just accept it. It is what it is. If he's a fit in this offense, and that's where I think you look to Brett Brown for his role in this offense more than you look to Elton Brand. Because,
but when you say this role in the offense, it's like, okay, so...
Well, the Lakers had no problem, and I know Anthony Davis is one of the best players in the league, but they trotted out Dwight Howard starting at center the other night, Anthony Davis at the four. They didn't have any problems.
They also aren't strapped with a guy who's refusing to shoot. And I love Ben Simmons, but he's refusing to shoot.
That's fair. Well, that's part of the fit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean...
But there has to be a way for Brett to get a little bit more out of Al.
Yeah, and Al Horford spoke out about it a few weeks ago.
He's not a three-point decoy.
No.
And I feel like 85% of the time he's playing... Like, put him in the dunker position. Yeah, do a little bit more.
Yeah, but then that's what you got to do with Ben.
Well, figure it out.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, okay, the roster construction kind of confused me. I understood.
It confuses everybody.
It's confusing everybody.
But you got
to
figure it out.
But when they made the signing of Al Horford, it did make sense to be able to put him in the corner as a stretch four. The other problem is, in Boston, he was such a good pick and roll big man, but you don't have a guard who's running the pick and roll that can shoot.
I thought
you're Ben Simmons.
I thought Tobias and Richardson were going to be running a lot more pick and roll two-man game with Al Horford than we've seen so far this year.
They started doing it with Jay Rich and Ben, but not with Jay Rich and Al Horford.
I know.
And I go, like, I don't know. I have to see how they figured this out. And listen, again, everybody keeps on pointing out, wow, they're the 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. They're struggling. They're only 2.5 back at the two.
Who cares about the seed right now? It's not coming into picture.
Like, they're right there, but it is problematic when you keep on hearing, oh, we'll figure it out in the new year, but then Joel Embiid goes down. Now Josh Richardson goes down. You're going to lose some games with both of these players out. I know Joel Embiid's saying he could come back next week. I hope so, because the Sixers have a very difficult stretch coming up with some very tough games. And I know that, to me, seeding doesn't matter right now, but record-wise, it does. And if they lose 2-3 out of the next 5 games...
people are going to panic.
Yeah.
And this is without Joel Embiid. I don't think we're going to see him next week. I hope I'm wrong. But, he was working out with Roy Hibbert yesterday at the court. Still has the finger heavily taped up there. Richardson, I don't think we're going to see probably till honestly, after the All-Star break.
He's going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks.
We're not seeing him miss
another week or two.
We're not seeing him until after the All-Star break. But, the roster is what it is right now. Elton did his job. Wrong or right, whatever you feel about it. It's now on Brett Brown to make it work. And I hear you that the fit isn't ideal, but, to boil it down, if you're running a pickup game and you get those guys on your team, you got to figure out a way to make it work.
It's just hard to say Brett's got to figure this out today. And it's like...
Not today.
Well, I know, but like...
But like his rotation still confused me.
This stretch, it's going to be hard to figure out when you have guys who were in the G League last year who are going to have to play important minutes for you.
Oh, yeah.
And guys like Shake Milton.
But like the other night, you got Shake Milton playing 22 minutes, whatever. Okay, the guy hasn't played... He's played like 4 times over the last 2 months.
Exactly.
Like, where's Trey Burke there? You needed offense.
That I don't get.
I know his defense sucks. But he can create a shot from the perimeter. He can take somebody, dribble penetrate in the lane. Why he got no run the other night in Toronto, broke my brain.
I don't know. Like, we did the Saturday morning show last year before the football season started, and I was screaming for the signing of Trey Burke. And when they did sign Trey Burke, I got really excited. And we've seen, we're not expecting 20 points off the bench, but sometimes you can run the Burke and Simmons on the court at the same time. When Simmons needs a breather, you have a scoring threat as a point guard in Trey Burke, who can shoot the three okay, but he has a nice mid-range game, so you can run the pick and roll with a guy like Al Horford. You can run the pick and roll with Joel Embiid when Simmons is off the court. And yet,
I sit there and, yeah, like you said, my brain's in a pretzel when he's not even getting any run.
I don't also, and I look, I, let me preface this with, I understand it was only about 4 minutes on the court together, but why the rotations at times don't have starters in them really confused me.
I mean, like the one against Toronto was tough because you were missing Jay Rich at that point.
But at the same time, like, there should never really be a time where you have five bench players on the floor in an NBA game. You should keep one starter in the fourth quarter.
But then again, you're putting them on the bench so that the rest of the game you have them.
I know.
With oxygen in their bodies.
I know, but we're here in the trust tree and I'm airing my grievances.
I understand.
And I don't like seeing five bench players on the floor at once. I know they were plus one in their 4 minutes together. That's an anomaly. That's not going to be the consistent.
Yeah, you can't do that every single week.
Have one of the starters out there with that group. You need somebody that can get you a bucket at one particular time.
So I have the poll from last week. It was 52%.
And Brian, we're coming right to you, man.
48% said no, and it was over 3,000 votes.
48% say Elton Brand has not done a good job.
Has Elton Brand done a good job as the GM of the Sixers thus far, was the wording of the question.
That's like close to 1,600 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Let's go to Brian in Philly. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, nothing much. How are y'all feeling today?
Doing good, man. Really excited for the game tonight.
Yes. Oh, I have a quick question. I kind of want to go like 4 for 4 with the conversation.
Sure.
So the first question is like, I guess, like a general question. If you had to like allocate percentages, like, I guess, like GM, coach, and players to like the success or failure of a team, like, how would you, like, allocate it or distribute it, like, percentage-wise?
I'd probably give the GM, like, honestly, you're just talking between GM, players, and coaches?
Yeah.
I would probably give the GM, like, a healthy 45% of the pie. I'd probably give coaching, like, 25%, and then the other whatever's remaining, 35% on the players, something like that, 30%, whatever it is. I think the GM is the most critical, to be honest.
Yeah, because they, you know, sign the players and like they pretty much pick the players.
They're if I go grocery shopping at the dollar store, your dinner's not going to be as good as if I went grocery shopping at the high end butcher shop in town. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and with that being said, I guess I want to kind of roll into the Sixers. Like, I don't think they have enough firepower, enough shooting and scoring, and I just feel like Elton Brand. No, they didn't do enough in the offseason. And do you think, like, besides Derrick Rose, this is, like, anybody you see out there in the market that, I guess, like, a realistic trade that can happen?
I you know, a name that intrigues me is Luke Kennard from Detroit. I kind of think his skill set would fit really nicely with this team. Derrick Rose, I'm okay with. I think if Thybul and Rose are your bench come a playoff series, that's pretty good. Danilo Gallinari is another name that's out there. I think he's going to cost a lot, and he might expect starter minutes in return. But Luke Kennard's a name that has my interest.
Got that Davis Bertans out there as
Davis
well.
Davis Bertans in Washington, he can shoot the lights out. They're going to do something. They definitely are, Brian. And thanks for the call, man. Have a great Saturday. I hear your windshield wipers working overdrive there. You like Bertans? Would he be your number one? Like, forget value you're sending out. Who's the number one guy you look at in the trade market, which is quickly approaching February 6th.
Well, number one would be Derrick Rose because he fits a need. He's a guy that can score off the bench in many different ways, and you can play him alongside Ben and give Ben a breather.
He's also a high shot volume guy.
Yeah, and
he's not a great shooter,
that's fine.
He can get you 18 to 20.
High shot volume off the bench.
He's going to need his 23 shots probably to get that.
Well, I mean, he's going to play a specific role coming off the bench.
Yeah, so his numbers will drop coming off the bench here. But look, if you're going into a playoff series and Derrick Rose and Matisse Thybulle are your top two off the bench with James Ennis maybe as the eighth and whoever your center backup is behind,
right.
that's a solid bench.
Yeah, you got a nice bench. I mean, the Bertans, there was a report yesterday that apparently the Wizards are no longer considering trading him. We'll see. I mean, if the right offer comes along, they're gonna make a trade. But
the problem is, I don't know if the Sixers have the right offer to make many teams.
Right. The Gallinari thing...
I don't think you have enough.
No, and he's on the final year of his deal.
Like honestly, what are we offering up here? Zaire Smith, Mike Scott, and a future first?
Well, people don't understand. So many people do this
stupid
trade machine thing, and they go, oh, look, Al Horford for Danilo Gallinari makes sense.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Why would they pick...
Well, but Billy Donovan coached Al Horford in college.
Why would they take an aging veteran that's getting paid $100 million...
To pair him with SGA and the youth they have.
Yeah, and then you're going to give up Gallinari's on the final year of his deal. and they can move on from Gallinari if they want, or they can try to get more than an aging veteran who you're going to have for three more years.
Yeah, Luke Kennard, he's skyrocketing up my list. Let's talk to Warren and Cherry Hill real quick. What's going on, Warren?
Morning, boys.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Warren?
I'm doing wonderful. First, I think as much as you, what I think of the whole roster, I think they've been nice. I just think it's too big a game. The home crowd will get into it. Can I tell you, the biggest thing is, the easiest way to say it, the sum is greater than the parts sometimes and sometimes more or less. I'm tired of hearing what Ben Simmons might do eventually. I'm tired of hearing what Brett Brown wants in this. What you're looking at is a poorly constructed team, no matter what you say. Now that we are shooting guard out, it even shows it more. When you got your two best players, and Embiid's not playing right now, when Embiid comes off saying, I don't want to be an on-the-block guy, I want to be a generational talent, when Simmons won't shoot, I'm really telling you, he's never going to do that shot. And why Horford doesn't work at all? I went to the Miami game, for instance, when we lost at home. They're on offense. There's no guy standing around the lane. They're all around the perimeter. They're all moving. When Horford's in the game, you basically got six guys underneath. Yeah. You got Embiid's guy. You got Horford's guy. You got Simmons' guy. That's, you know, forget that ball
hand. Warren, you're right. The movement on offense is not good.
It doesn't fit. And when I talk to you during the week with Brian, I don't hear they play better. No, they don't. They have occasional games. Ben Simmons goes on the next night. He has more turnovers than shots taken. Listen, Willie Burton scored 50-something points in the game. You know, I don't care about the two games against Cleveland and for 3 days on Comcast Sportsnet showing the Brooklyn game like it's the same game.
But if they're going to win, Warren, that defense that they showed against Brooklyn, and I know it's Brooklyn, that's how they're going to win.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm okay with it, but every time I talk about the one guy who's weak.
Warren, we're losing you on our cell connection there. The rain must have interfered. Oh, we got Hodge on the line, Lewis in Pensauken, Anthony in
Charlie.
Oh, it's Charlie in South Philly. Right. And Anthony in Baltimore talking Sixers. Look, you know, I fell trapped to getting excited by that Brooklyn game because I started thinking about the possibilities of Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, and Joel Embiid in a five unit. No, because that
the next
defense,
game you lost.
I meant trapped into the excitement of what the defense showed you. Like, I got real excited, and I still do believe they can beat any team in the East in a series because of defense. They're going to have to win through their defense. We'll continue talking about that next with everybody on the line. Couple open lines if you want to get in on tonight's Sixers-Lakers game. It's an exciting one. You're listening to Andrew Souchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 10:24.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. Happy Saturday morning to all. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Souchunas in with you until noon. And I believe, is it Rob Mahdi at Parks?
So
after us.
Go check out Rob.
And don't forget the Fanatic Deal of the Week. This Deal of the Week is at the first place I ever went skiing. Spring Mountain up in Schwenksville.
That's cool. I've never gone skiing.
You've never gone skiing?
No.
Really?
Or snowboarding.
That was my next question.
I put on a snowboard, you know, I strapped into the snowboard once in like my friend's
backyard
but I didn't go to like a slope, yeah.
You've never had interest in skiing or snowboarding?
No.
Really?
I don't really like the snow. It just adds difficulty to my life.
Every time I think I'm like, oh, you're being too hard on Andrew being a boomer. And by the way, during the break, you were just reading off text from last Thursday that you still hadn't read yet.
Yeah.
You're such a boomer.
Sorry, guys.
And then you say things like, I don't like the snow. Like,
I love the cold. I don't like the snow because then I have to drive in it and then I have to shovel.
The only time snow is fun is when
you're
skiing.
Spring Mountain Adventures.
What's wrong with you? The time snow is fun is when you're skiing. or tubing or snowboarding.
I used to build a fort when I was a kid.
I made a sick fort in the blizzard.
Football in the snow?
Blizzard of 95, was it?
I think it was 94 when I was a pup.
Made a fort that would knock your socks off. Wow. Right, but yeah, this deal of the week is up at Spring Mountain, Shanksville, PA. For a limited time, only get one all-area lift ticket to Spring Mountain Adventures, valid weekdays and weekends during the 2020 season for just $24. That's access to 8 trails, 6 lifts, and 2 terrain parks for 50% off. Check it out at 975thefanatic.com, keyword deal.
Now, you know what you need to wear when you go to a ski lift. Like a jacket,
yeah,
but also a sweatshirt. And you know where you can get a sweatshirt? You can get it at the Fanatic Pro Shop, Jamie. This holiday gift-giving season is over, but the Fanatic Pro Shop is open for business. Now that you're finished buying gifts for everyone else, it's time to buy something for you. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports team merchandise and apparel at discount prices. The Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 975thefanatic.com.
While you were reading that, I sunk a money high arker over your shoulder into the trash can. Yeah, so, yeah, check it out. Sixers-Lakers tonight. DraftKings, who I do reads for during the week, has an awesome odds boost in PA tonight where you can get the Sixers. This is essentially free money at plus 76 for up to a $50 max
bet. That's free money. That's absolute free money.
Here's my pick of the day. I will take the Sixers plus 76 tonight versus the Lakers. But they're plus 4.5 tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. ESPN national game. I guess that means Doris
it's
Park.
It's on ABC.
Oh, it's on ABC.
Which is owned by
ESPN. Yeah, it's all the same.
Still
Mickey
ABC.
Mouse.
That's
yeah,
cool. Yeah.
So what crew do we get coming in? I'm blanking on that.
ABC may be a Breen special, right?
Yeah, it might be. I wouldn't mind Doris.
It's the 8:30 tip, 8:30, so yeah. I would guess Mike Breen would be on the call.
Maybe Doris Burke in the building doing a little sideline action?
Yeah, I think when Breen's doing the call, she's on the side. I forget who works with Breen.
Yeah, why? Oh, it's...
It's not Hubie.
No, it's not Hubie.
Hubie's with Mark Jackson. Or not, yeah. Is his name Mark Jackson? Not Mark Jackson with a C that we're used to here. Mark Jackson with a K.
Ah, not like Mark Farzetta with a C.
No.
But yeah, Sixers are plus 4.5.
I don't like it.
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
They're missing 2/5 of their starters.
Yeah.
And the guys that are coming off the bench, it's not like the Eagles' next man up mentality. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, oh, damn.
No, Shake Milton's actually
we're debating whether it should be Shake Milton or Furkan Korkmaz in the starting five today.
They really need to get some two-guard depth on this roster this offseason.
They really do, because like you said, and like a lot of people have pointed out on social media, is you went from Jay Rich to nothing.
Yeah.
Really.
There was no real depth there. Howell Neto ain't it.
Okay, let's face it.
Shake, I mean, at least gives you some potential.
Yeah, that potential's, we've been waiting for that potential for 4 freaking years now.
Yeah,
But you look at...
Zaire's called up. We'll
see
if he
gets anything.
You look at the offseason.
They had, Elton Brand had to do a lot to build this starting five. And it's not that he neglected the bench, which a lot of people like to say. Oh, he didn't even focus on the bench.
No, he tried.
Oh, he tried.
And look, I thought Mike Scott was going to step into a six-man role a lot better than he did.
Yeah, he's not shooting the 40% clip that we're... He's actually shooting below his career average.
Mike Scott is bad this season.
Yeah, Mike Scott shot 37% in his career from threes. He's under that. He's at 35. So far this year.
And it feels a lot worse. And when he misses,
Yeah.
He's killing you.
He has some rough games, and you've been having to play him at the four a lot more and all
if
that
If it wasn't
kind of
for
stuff,
Matisse Thybulle,
yeah, you'd be in trouble. But you look at it, and it's, okay, yeah, he didn't neglect the bench, but you had to put so much into your starters, especially money-wise, that, yeah, you had to bring back James Ennis on a lower money deal because you weren't going to be able to get a guy that's probably getting paid closer to $10 million coming off the bench somewhere else, right? Like, you have James Ennis, you have Mike Scott, you have guys that came back from last year. Furkan Korkmaz came back because nobody wanted him, and he was like, all right, yeah, sure, I'll stay. He didn't want to come back.
Think James Ennis is regretting those comments he had in the offseason.
Oh, that walking through the East?
Walking to... I think he did mean walking to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think he meant walking through Milwaukee.
Well, we'll see once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, you think he wants those ones back, though?
Nah, he doesn't care. He said it. It's already out there. It's on social media. It's on every airwaves. You name it.
Yeah, I hear you. But it's bad. It's a bad bench right now. Let's talk to Lewis and Penn Salkin about the game tonight. What's going on, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on? How you doing, bro?
Doing good, man.
Listen, we talk about the bench, like you say, with Shake Milton and Zaire Smith now coming up and stuff like that. It's funny how Miami can get guys out the G League.
Miami's good, man.
And
Kendrick Nunn. Lewis, this kid Kendrick Nunn went unsigned. He was in the G League. He was basically just for free out there, and he stepped into a real good role for them.
Yeah, but here's my thing, though, too. To me, Miami, because of the way they do things, they've always had guys who were scrap heap guys. Hassan Whiteside was a scrap heap guy, and he gave him, you know, some good years.
So the Heat are a critically underrated franchise.
And they get the – see, here's the thing. And this is the difference between, I'm sorry, Brett Brown and Eric Spoelstra and what they got.
He's a really good coach, yeah.
Yeah, Spoelstra's got some pedigree.
Not only are – he's a good coach, but they don't – there's a standard down there. If you don't play a certain way, you don't get out on the court. They don't care what your name on the back says.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that kind of level of accountability is not here, and I'm sorry. And here's the thing. We could talk about – what Elton Brand didn't do with the bench and all that kind of stuff. But here's the bottom line. In an NBA, your team rises as your foundational pieces rise. And let's be honest. Ben Simmons and JoJo did not come back as
I think Ben Simmons has improved. And now, Lewis, I hear you on the jump shot aspect. I think he's improved his game in a lot of ways.
I agree.
No. I understand what I'm saying. But here's the thing: what you just said, you're absolutely correct. Ben Simmons will make the All Defensive Team this year.
He might be up for Defensive Player of the Year, Lewis.
Yeah, but here's my thing. Right now, bro, if he would take 2 to 3 jump shots a game, nobody would say nothing to him.
I know.
What I don't understand is. He lives in a city, AI. How many nights do we see AI go 5 for 25?
Oh, yeah.
We don't care if he don't shoot.
Oh, Giannis airballs a shot a night, and it's never talked about.
We don't care if you miss.
I know.
Nah. I feel like Lewis, if he does go 5 for 25, as he mentioned with AI, people complain about AI, right? Oh, he shoots too much.
Well, yeah, but he had nobody around him.
Exactly. But if Ben Simmons is going 0 for 10, then the people will start saying, all right, you know what? Don't shoot. We'd rather you just go attack the basket.
It's one of the most bizarre things ever. In the NBA.
That's the biggest anomaly in sports.
Him and Markelle Fultz are two of the strangest cases ever.
Yeah, we had both of them at the same time.
Within 2 years, we had them both. Drop the conversation about three-pointers. He's never going to be a three-point shooter.
I want a mid-range game, and he's not shown it, and it's been a huge disappointment. But we can't also just say, oh, if he goes 0 for 10, at least he shot. Like
the bigger concern,
the first time, yes, but the next 10, no.
The biggest concern to me isn't Ben Simmons; it's Joel Embiid's health. And I know they're fluky.
Yeah, this was a freak injury. His finger got caught in Steven Adams' jersey.
His face on the Markelle Fultz pick in practice that broke his orbital bone was a freaky, weird accident. His other thing is a weird, freaky accident. Everything's a weird, freaky accident. Nothing is going to matter if Joel Embiid isn't on the court for you.
Yeah, because they're nowhere near as good, even though I do have this dark fear, and we can, I don't know if you've heard my dark fear that Simmons and Embiid one day can't really figure it out together.
We'll talk about that coming up next. I guess we'll play a little psychiatrist here. We'll lay you down on the couch.
Try to help me out.
Yeah, it sounds dark and twisted like your boomer mind is. Anthony in Baltimore, Hodge, you guys are coming up next. Couple open lines if you want to get in. We've turned this into some heavy Sixers-Lakers talk tonight. It's very cool. I'm very excited for tonight to watch LeBron move into third all time. I'm an NBA geek, so like that type of stuff, when you start getting into the historical ranks and top three all time, it adds a little extra something to
it. Wait, hold on. So you said not having Embiid's bad, right? So you wouldn't trade him?
I mean, nobody's ever really untouchable.
No, but I'm saying you wouldn't trade him for like Tyler Hero. And...
No.
All right, I just had to throw that out there.
I mean, if you're giving me Anthony Davis for Joel Embiid,
I'm going to drop the Tyler Hero mic there.
You're listening to I almost went Fanatic at 5, muscle memory there. You're listening to Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 10:41.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's impossible for you to go one break without having a boomer comment. You're not even aware of how old you are.
But I do now.
You're just watching some video over there, and I go, why am I hearing two things? You go, oh, I got my computer on. You go, Drake and DaBaby. Who the hell's DaBaby? You don't even know DaBaby, man?
No.
I'm like 12 years your elder, and I know DaBaby.
I don't know.
One of the hottest guys in the rap game right now. Rocking a Sixers gold jacket the other day.
Oh, really?
In one of his Instagram posts. And
I was also watching Bill Spaceman Lee tell me how to pitch. Do you know who Bill Spaceman Lee is?
Sounds familiar, but no.
He played in the major leagues.
Yeah.
He was the one that wore a spacesuit onto the rubber one day.
Okay.
He's 73 years old, so he's nice. About my generation.
Is he on the Nick Pivetta hype train?
No.
That's your demo, though, 73-year-olds.
Yeah.
That's where you'd thrive.
Yes. Yes.
Who's DaBaby? You say? Oh, you're 25 years old.
26 now.
Oh, 26.
Yeah.
How do you not know who DaBaby is? I'm an old washed man. I know who DaBaby is.
Like, listen.
Jeez, get it together over there.
Do you think Dylan doesn't know who DaBaby is?
Of course he doesn't.
Jamie, do you think DaBaby is aired on any country music station?
Is it?
No. Is DaBaby aired on 97.5 The Fanatic?
Yes, Trey has put some of his bumps in as music right. returns.
Well, then that's my one chance of hearing it.
Yeah, come on, man. DaBaby. Let's go to Anthony in Baltimore. He wants to talk about some prop bets tonight for the Sixers game. What's going on, Ant?
What's up, the bro? What's up, my man? Cecile in the igloo Tunis, my man.
What's up, DaBaby?
Sorry, calling him Dutch Tunis.
yeah, man. I love you guys, man. I listen to you, Jamie, every morning, and I listen to you right afterwards, Tunis.
Thanks a lot, Ant.
Oh, wait, you fell asleep yesterday.
Yeah, I did, man. I did.
You won me a lunch yesterday.
I'm a sports loser, Tunis, just like you guys, man.
Yeah, but you won me money yesterday because we had a bet on how long he'd be asleep, and I hit the over.
Nice.
So thank you, Anthony.
Anthony owes you a lunch?
Anthony already bought me lunch.
Nice.
Now I need a special Saturday edition from Tunis. I need your game player prop bets, man. That's what I told your screener. I got a parlay. It's plus +393, right? So $50 gets you two C notes. I got for the Sixers, Tobias to score 20.
I like that.
Horford.
Somebody has to score.
It's a parlay with him to have 20. Horford to have 13.5, I believe.
It should be good.
And I don't like that.
I don't know how you get a half a point, but and then you got Simmons to have 10 assists, and that's a parlay. 50 gets you two C notes. What do you think?
Ooh, I like that.
I could see the 10 assists. I don't really like.
I think the
Horford.
13. I mean, he should be able to get 14 in a game with no Joel Embiid.
He was supposed
this has
to get,
be a Horford game.
I took the over in Horford like 2 games ago, and he did not hit the over. And it's 13.5.
Man, I mean, he's averaging right around there. I like it though, and I think that's got a good shot.
I'm wishing you nothing but the best.
All right, well, give me some when I get off the line with you there, too. Just give me take a look, take your time. I'll be listening, man.
All right, thanks for the call, Ant. Look at that. He got you a free lunch yesterday, and now he wants your player prop.
Yeah, all right. I got to check that. I got to check
DraftKings does not currently
check the old
have
FanDuel app. I'm a big FanDuel fan.
I'm a huge DraftKings fan. I opted into plus +76 tonight, so how about that? Right in your face.
Right.
They do not currently have him up, but I'm sure they will. I would imagine the Ben Simmons over-under on points.
Probably usually, 16.5.
Usually what they do with Simmons that I enjoy a lot is they'll do the combo line, points, assists, rebounds.
Yeah.
And usually it's like 36
in the
and
30s,
a half.
Yeah.
I like playing those because I have a lot of fun with those. I would take a Simmons over tonight.
I don't know.
I think he's going to be fired up at home. His boy LeBron, all of clutch management is going to be in the house.
That's a
very sitting on the sidelines, maybe.
That's a very interesting storyline to pay attention to.
And you do have to remember, somebody tweeted real quick, Bada, during the break. He said, Jamie, I'm surprised you don't actually like the Sixers tonight. The Lakers, this is their fourth road game in like 5 or 6 days. Plus, they have a huge game with the Clippers on Tuesday they may be looking ahead to. The problem is
it's not
also,
tomorrow. It's Tuesday.
And the problem is it's an ESPN primetime game.
Yeah.
And LeBron and AD are going to be up for that.
And again, that's Tuesday. It's only Saturday.
No, but I hear you. I mean, the 4 or 5 games on the road like that is no joke. Continue on. Your concerns tonight, because I think Simmons will step up. It's a huge ESPN game. His boy LeBron's on the other side of it. I would take his points over 18.5 tonight if that is the line.
The storyline is, how does he play against LeBron? Because there was a time, I don't think it was last year, I think it was his rookie season, where LeBron actually backed off, and it looked like he motioned at Ben to shoot. Because LeBron and Ben are close, and Ben didn't shoot. And then Ben just tried to attack, and then LeBron was like, all right, I'm LeBron James. I'm not going to let you score. It's going to be very interesting to see how Ben and LeBron play against one another on the court. I don't think they played against each other last year. I think LeBron was hurt at the time when the Sixers played the Lakers.
Yeah, he mailed it in kind of early last year.
So I wonder what that looks like. And Anthony pointed out, it's going to be interesting to hear what LeBron says pregame, because you know they're going to ask him about Ben Simmons, because, you know, it's... He named him the prince, right? LeBron's the king. He's named Ben Simmons the prince.
He wants to be the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Philadelphia.
It'll be interesting to hear what LeBron says about Ben. And Anthony said, we need LeBron. We, as Sixers fans, and the Sixers themselves, need LeBron to say something like, Ben's got to shoot more.
Yeah.
Because maybe then that'll be something that gets to Ben. Because it's one thing for us to complain about it on sports radio. It's one thing for Brett Brown to say it. Remember, Brett Brown challenged him to a 3-game, and he didn't listen. But maybe if LeBron James says, listen, if he wants to be the best player in the NBA, if he wants to be me one day, he's got to shoot.
He legit has that potential if he's able to add a jump shot.
So we need LeBron to speak out to that.
Screw LeBron. You know who we need is Kendall.
don't give me Kendall.
Kendall starts, you know, promising him some stuff if he starts showing that mid-range J. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, Ben Simmons over 8. I'm just ignoring your comment. 18.5.
It's pretty much his line like every night. I just got a tweet from our buddy Scott. He says, I'm all over that Ben under. Prime time against a good defense, he's cooked.
And he's got no one else. I mean, this is a game where he has
to need him
attack.
Tonight. Yeah. He needs to be aggressive, downhill, finishing at the rim, getting to the free throw line 12 times. We need that Ben Simmons tonight, or they probably don't have a shot. Flat out.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Let's talk to Hodge and see what ridiculous comment he's got.
Charlie, what's up?
Hey, yeah, you know, you can watch the baby in concert at the Big Jam. It's February 8th in Hampton Roads.
Oh, really? Is the baby live there?
Big Jam, bitch. There'll be a lot of people there.
How much are the tickets?
Probably about $60 for some good seats.
All right. We got to get you to the baby live.
I got to go see the baby.
I think Trey would go. Yeah, Trey would go.
All right, me and Trey.
He likes the DaBaby.
All right, so me and Trey are going
to
see
the DaBaby. The road trip down, that's a long drive. You can say hello to AI when you're down there.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I called in because, you know, I don't dislike Embiid. I like the guy. I like listening to his tweets. He's a funny guy. But just like Carson Wentz, there's got to be a point where you say enough is enough. He can't stay on the court, and he disappears when you need him. Well, it doesn't matter what the seed's
going to
be.
What do you mean he disappears when you need him?
Well, yeah, when we get to the playoffs, he's not going to show up every game like he did last year. And we lost a couple games that we could have beat. We could have gone to the finals, but no.
But he didn't, like, disappear because he didn't want to play.
He had diarrhea.
Yeah, he had the gastroenteritis.
You're hurt, sick. You know, you're out. You know, but that's it.
I get it. Michael Jordan played with the flu.
And that's right. I mean, you want to be a superstar in this league. Look at LeBron. He doesn't miss when he has to play. When he has to be plays, you got to play. There's got to be a time where.
No,
you
absolutely. And I've said it, Hodge. All of this means nothing if Joel Embiid isn't on the court.
But you're not going to cut bait with him.
Why not? I mean, what's the point? I mean,
all right, what do you want in return for Joel Embiid?
But your whole season is built around getting to the playoffs and have Joel be your guy. But he doesn't show up in the playoffs. So what's the point? The whole season doesn't make any sense. I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, you got to get rid of him.
But you would agree.
See, that's when you go too far.
But you would agree there's only about maybe five or six guys in the entire league that are, would make him.
I don't know. Right. It's hard. It's a hard decision. But, you know, if he's not going to be there when you need him, what's the point in having him?
Yeah, and thanks for the call. Look, okay. I'm firmly in the camp of almost nobody is untouchable. I'm not trading him for the sake of trading
him. That's just Hodge being Hodge.
If Anthony Davis got locked up to a matchable contract and the Lakers said, hey, here's Anthony Davis for Joel Embiid, sure, I'm doing that deal. If, there's like six guys in the entire NBA, I would do that deal. You're not trading him because.
All right, listen. He's averaging,
not on the court consistently.
He's averaging basically 21 and 11 in the playoffs in his career. Those are pretty good numbers.
First two rounds of the playoffs?
Not elite numbers, but those are pretty good numbers. You also have to take into account that in one round, he was playing with a face mask on that he clearly did not like playing with. Yeah. And then last round, last year against the Raptors, the gastroenteritis.
Bad diarrhea.
Yeah, played into the effect. Now,
Imodium works pretty well for me. How about you?
The reason why he's been open about it. He's not going 100% this year is because he wants to be healthy come playoff time. It was a freak injury, the finger getting caught in the jersey of Steven Adams. Hopefully once he comes back from that, he continues to play at his pace so that come playoff time, he balls out and he's scoring 30 and 10.
Yeah, we'll continue talking about this coming up next. If you want to get in on our Eagles conversation from earlier and how monumentally important this offseason is, I do want to touch on my Phillies depression with the baseball man, Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Chad in North Philly, you're kicking us off next. 610-632-0975. Got some open lines if you want to get in on this rainy Saturday. We got a huge game in South Philadelphia tonight. For Andrew, I'm Jamie. Time at the Fanatic, 1056.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.